even there is your son. In turn, he said to the disciple, there is your mother. And so St. John summarizes for us the great feast we celebrate today, the sorrows of Our Lady. And so we see very clearly that devotion to the sorrows of Our Lady is rooted in apostolic times. Indeed, it is during the height of the sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary that the true disciple gives himself entirely to the Mother. But we must understand that the sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary did not begin with the crucifixion and death of her Lord and Savior, who is also her Son, but they were only the culmination. Those sorrows would begin shortly after the joy of Christmas was pierced by the prophecy of Simeon, and the Blessed Virgin's response was always the same. With great faith, she would endure. She would not complain to the prophet that how could he destroy the joy of Christmas so soon after the Savior had come into the world by prophesying that he would suffer and she also would suffer the sword of sorrow. And it would continue during the slaughter of the innocents, for the Mother of God knew that her Son and her Savior was the very cause of the death of those innocents. And yet, her faith did not diminish, it only increased. It would continue as the Savior of the chosen people would be exiled into Egypt, and so the suffering and sorrows of the Mother of God would continue to heighten in order to reach the fullness of those sorrows at the foot of Calvary. They would continue when the Mother of God would lose the child for 3 days and hence find him in the temple, and he would remind her there that they both had a joint mission, a mission to save the world from its sin. And so the Mother of God would then enter into earnest the sorrows that she would drink to the very dregs. On the Via Dolorosa, she would meet the torn and tattered body of her Son, and she would continue to respond with a greater faith and a greater love, first and foremost for her Son, and then for all those who are separated from him by sin. That sorrow would meet its fulfillment in the crucifixion and death of our Lord, and from the cross her sorrows would increase as she receives the dead child in her motherly arms, and there she would offer him to the Eternal Father, and most especially those sorrows would be sealed when she watches her Son sealed in the tomb, in the sepulchre, and so the Savior of mankind truly was buried, but she would also have those sorrows eliminated with the resurrection, for she knew full well that the Savior of mankind came to conquer death, and death he would conquer. And so the Mother of God cooperates first and foremost in the mission of the Savior, and so at the foot of the cross she is bequeathed by the Savior the whole dispensation of mercy, and she also acquires us as her children. And so let us constantly turn to this Mother of Sorrows, who will teach us how to unite our sorrows and our sufferings to the suffering and sorrows of the Savior, not in the same manner as her, but truly in cooperation with her role as the co-redemptrix of mankind. For the Mother of God, by her sorrows, truly merits for us our salvation in a way subordinate to that of her Son, but because she had no sin to make reparation for herself, she truly, as it were, wins for herself these graces in cooperation with the suffering and sorrow endured by her Son. And so the Mother of God will always stand above us, contrary to the modern opinion that we somehow must make Our Lady something like us. We must remove her from her pedestal. But when we reflect upon that, we see very clearly that is nothing but an attempt to destroy motherhood. For what mother is not placed on a pedestal by its child? And that is the key to understanding why Our Lady is so much above us. She is above us not by the way of a tyrant, but by the way of the mother. And so, as the mother always does, she stoops down to us in our weakness in order to lift us up, and ultimately to lift us up into union with the Savior crucified, so that we too, like Christ and Mary, can also cooperate. We too can be lifted up for the salvation of the world, that is, by way of union with the one who was lifted up first and foremost, and the one who purchases for us all the graces, and indeed he purchases for his mother the very graces she has received. And so she has been truly entrusted with the entire order of mercy. And so let us turn to her, who is constantly, by way of motherly love, admonishing us to turn from our sins in order to take up the life of prayer and penance, so that we too can show forth in our bodies what was lacking in the suffering of Jesus Christ. That is, we can show truly well a loving response to what the Savior endured for us, so that in cooperating with the mission of Christ and His Mother, we may all be joined together in that kingdom that cannot be taken from us, where all sorrows will disappear and we will only bask in the joy and in the glory of the beatific vision of the Lord and His most holy Mother, who did all these things for us. Amen.